we go. Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This right here is episode 127, your college football spectacular. Thank you so much for spending some of your time with us today. As always, it is greatly appreciated. If you would be so kind, drop us a subscribe, rate, and review trifecta over on iTunes. It would mean the world to us. So, college football, 3-3 last week. Got lucky with a backdoor, had a couple grind sessions that didn't go our way. Hawaii, of course, covering the over in spectacular fashion, 3 touchdowns in the final 3 minutes. In just a few minutes, we're going to go to Las Vegas. We've never had him on the show before, but I've wanted to talk to this guy for the longest time. Bill Krakenberger, the pro's pro, one of the handicappers out there that is widely respected throughout the community. You're starting to see him more on VSiN, ESPN. He's doing the media rounds because he is that sharp. He's going to come on and help us break down 2 things. 1, this week's college football card, and 2, Triple G Canelo Part 2. Bill's been covering all this stuff down in Vegas throughout the week. He's been attending all the events. So he will be our eyes and ears on the ground as we attempt to turn a profit on the next great super fight. But for right now, welcome to the upset alert. We are 1-0 on the season, courtesy of Air Force's backdoor cover at Florida Atlantic last Saturday. Air Force didn't win the game, but they did get inside the number late in the fourth, thanks to a blocked punt. We'll take it any way we can get it. So Air Force, thank you very much. This week, we turn our attention to the Pac-12. Utah catching 7 against the Washington Huskies. Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, Rice-Eccles Stadium. Saturday night is going to mark just the 11th time in program history that Utah's fans will be in, quote, blackout mode. Now, that doesn't mean what you booze hounds think it means. Utah's annual blackout game encourages fans to dress in all black attire to, you guessed it, blackout the stadium in an effort to create as hostile an environment as possible. The good news, the tactic appears to work since the Utes are 8-2 straight up in their 10 previous blackout games. The altitude of Rice-Eccles Stadium is as daunting a travel destination as the Pac-12 has to offer, as Utah has failed to cover the number only once over its last 8 home games. Additionally, Washington is just 1-5 against the spread in its last 6 games overall, and 0-4 against the spread over its last 4 road dates. For good measure, the dog has covered the spread in this spot in each of the last 5 encounters between Washington and Utah, so give us the 7 with Utah as we're putting the Huskies on upset alert. To Las Vegas we go. He's making his first appearance here on the Sharp 600, but I've been a fan of his work for quite some time, so we finally get to connect for a conversation today. He's a professional gambler. You've seen him on ESPN, VSiN. He's all over the place, and I want you to follow him on Twitter, at Bill Krakman. You can find that link in the bio of this pod because he's giving out valuable information on a daily basis. Bill Krakenberger joining us here on the Sharp 600. Bill, man, I've been a fan for a while. Thank you so much for taking the time today. It's greatly appreciated.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me. I that name, Krakman, I know they've been calling me that since high school before the drug came out. So all of a sudden that drug came out and people said they still kept calling me Krak. And, you know, it's with a K, though, by the way. So it's not with a C, so it sounds better. But I appreciate your stuff. Someone showed me a great thing you did on the Raiders the other day. I absolutely loved it. I showed it to my buddies. Who are in the business, and they were like, wow, that's great, great insight you had. So when I seen that, and then I seen your tweet to me, I said, all right, I'm definitely doing this guy's podcast for him.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do. I know we've got a lot of mutual friends, like the guys from VSiN and the guy, and like Warren Sharp. So obviously, they all speak very highly of you. We'll jump to Triple G and Canelo in just a second, because I know you're there covering the fight. But let's dive into some college football here. First game I wanted to ask you about, Texas laying 3 against USC. Now, it's a revenge spot for Texas. USC has got a true freshman at quarterback. They looked terrible last week against Stanford. Do you expect the Trojan offense to show up Saturday night?
The line opened up at 3, and it's currently 3.5. It's funny how I know that, because I don't have my screen up, but I will get my screen up here. I use a live odds screen, but I know that that particular game I do know was 3, and it was getting some action. Texas opened up 3 and went to 3.5. And, you know, it's funny. I really don't have a lot of opinions. Like, I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of bets on those major marquee teams. I stick to games like Duke and Baylor and some of the smaller, the Temple, Maryland, some of those smaller market kind of games which have less info on it. Let me just tell you for your listeners, I have a problem of talking too much. My partners say too much, but I'm going to probably do it right now too. The smaller markets are easier to read on. We can get much more information. I have a full-time guy. All he does is read. He scouts every website. He scouts all the team papers, the team websites. And also, let me be blunt, he actually scouts the Twitter and the Facebook and the – I'm not a social media guy. There's another one they use, the kid uses all the time.
Instagram.
But anyway – Instagram. He's on that stuff. So he finds out. And for preseason this year, it was unbelievable. I'll probably never have a preseason football like I had this year. I mean, I only knock on wood and hope I do. Because the amazing, the stuff that the staff was putting out on their Twitters, on their Instagram, it was just so valuable to know how many series someone's going to play, if they're going to play at all. They were telling more stuff on their personal pages than they were in the press. So reading is a key thing. It's one of those key elements you need to be a successful sports bettor. There's so many skill sets that you need, and that is really one of them. So I know I'm going off subject and starting to rant and rave, and I know on different subjects. I have ADD terribly. But you asked about the Texas game. I got into another subject there about reading. The Texas-USC is a perfect game to talk about as far as there's so much information out there on it. Every single website you go to is going to have almost a generic, same kind of conversation going. But then again, if I go to a team like Lafayette and Mississippi State, I'm not going to find that stuff, but yet my guys are going to find it. So I did notice the line was 3, went to 3.5, got some action. But you have to be careful now, too, because I'll tell you right now, Joe, the screen is used as a setup tool sometimes. Sometimes these key syndicate guys that are like myself, but there's even guys out there that are equally or even better than me. I mean, they go out and bet tons and tons of money the wrong way early in the week to set up for the right way towards game time when the full limits are in place in the sports books and casinos. So, but that particular game, I did not do anything on that game, but I did see the line move from Texas opening up -3 to 3.5. All over Vegas is 3.5. A couple threes minus 20.
All right, so to clarify, I want to go ahead and touch on a point you just brought up there for some of our listeners. When you're talking about a setup, you're talking about a syndicate early in the week making a bet on one side in order to push the line to a more favorable number so that they can bet on the other team later in the week for more money. Is that correct?
That's correct, Joe, and I have done this with many journalists. I literally told them to pick a game on off the rotation number. I've done this in college basketball. And I said, okay, watch now. I made 3 wagers within 1 minute or a minute and a half on a nighttime before the game on an overnight and watched the whole entire world because most of them are just copycat off everybody. The line, I can manipulate the line and move it a point, literally a point overnight. And it really is amazing how one or two little bets for a couple grand can make the whole screen move, and you can come back towards game time and get down 25 times more than that. So it is a manipulation. It's very easy to do. It's done a lot, actually, early in the week. So, yes, they would bet small money on the little side, come back on the big side, come back on the other side at a later time, towards game time when the limits are full. And they're not only are they getting more money down, they're getting more money down on their side, which is the opposite they bet early in their week, especially around the key numbers in the end. And you know, let's use college. In college, the key number is 7, so that means the 7 points is usually one of the game numbers that the games will fall on. You know, 21-14, 35-28. Around the 7, it's a real good thing to do. I really wouldn't do it around bigger numbers. You don't want to do that around 21 or something like that. But the smaller numbers and the lower the total is. Here's something I never talk about. The lower the total is, the bigger chance that the game will fall on that number, because that means less points will be scored, which means a truer number will, in the end, a truer number should come out. So if the line is minus 7 and the total's 41, or if a line's minus 7 and the total's 65, well, the lower one, the lower total is more likely to play closer to the game. You follow that? I'm sure. I hope your listeners follow that.
I do, and I appreciate the insights. Yeah. Let's do this. Let's go off script here, because generally what I do is I fire off a bunch of the big name games, and then we jump into the stuff that the guest likes. I was gonna ask you about Oklahoma State Boise, Ohio State TCU, Washington Utah, because I think Utah might have a nice situation there with the travel date for Washington, Herm Edwards in Arizona State at San Diego State. But if you don't like any of those games, let's do this. Which ones do you like the most?
I didn't bet it yet. So I didn't – I'm expecting something in one of those games. I just didn't bet it yet. However, I can give you a list full of games that we bet already. My partners and I have two partners. The three of us bet already. I'll be happy to give you them.
Yeah, let's talk about the games you like this weekend.
111, when I say 111, that's the game rotation number on the rotation. 111, which is Temple and Maryland, we actually like the over in that game. And to be honest with you, you might get a little bit better number. Maybe I know we actually got over 53. It's 54 here in Vegas now. And it might come back down because of the weather over there. You never know what, you know. I wrote a whole article this week for Gaming Today on weather. And a lot of these games I'll actually bet over at game time after the public moves them down so much. There's such reactions to these storms. I know some of them have actually been canceled. We liked App State over, however, they got canceled. So a lot of these games have moved so much because of the weather. But really, the right play is the over. But however, most important is the wind. I have to make sure the wind conditions really control a lot of our bets. Because a lot of our totals bets, because we're not going to be betting over if there's a swirling wind. However, just like if there's snow on the field in New England or Chicago, and people love that they see the snow and automatically the line crashes as soon as the TV goes live for the preview. And I love that, because as long as there's no wind, I don't mind at all. I love going over in those situations when the public pushes the game down under. So this game, you might get even a better line. I went over 53. On Temple, Maryland earlier, and let me give you a couple more. Game 159, Clemson and Georgia Southern, same thing. There's an urgent message on my screen that says weather. Same thing here. Matter of fact, the game didn't even move. I got a little bit of 47. It's on 47.5. So it's 47.5, 48. This is another game that I played over and I like the over in. Again, this is a game you may get better at game time. So it's something to keep into effect. Like I said, people overreact all the time. All the time they overreact.
I can remember a game when New England and Tennessee played each other years ago. Snow everywhere. Yeah. Everyone was doing exactly what you were talking about, playing the under. Brady went out and threw for like 450 yards and a bunch of touchdowns. I think New England covered the over on their own in that game.
I remember it. You're absolutely correct. And it's really key to know this, too, when that preview comes on or when ESPN wants to show, because they love showing the white flashy. They do a flash to the field, how beautiful it is. It's, oh, look at the snow. This is really football, guys. Great. It's fantastic. As long as there's no wind, the public doesn't realize that the snow actually offers a good footing sometimes also. They keep the fields in pretty good condition. As long as you can throw the ball, you have to remember there's so many different variables. There's the defenses. There's so many different things that come. There may be a lot of fumbles on handoffs, which can could turn into points the other way in the red zone for the other team. So absolutely correct. Just remember now. I know it's beautiful September. It's 100 degrees here in Vegas, and everyone. But so people don't think about that. But even throughout the country. Later in the season, I know the weather hasn't turned yet, but later in the season, late October, November, December, just remember, let the public, let the squares bet on the under, and be a sharp guy and start and come in on the overs at at kickoff, right at kickoff. You'll get the money in the end. I'm not saying it's a clear, blatant thing to do on all the games, but a lot of those games, if you see them move 4 or 5 points, I want the other way. Just like when there's an injury, Joe, a lot of these guys overreact. LeBron James is out. Okay, line moves 5 points. Well, because LeBron James is out. Well, the guy that's stepping into LeBron's shoes can probably start on any NBA team. I want the team with the injury. I want that team after the public comes in and overmoves the game. I want to be on the bookmaker's side. And trust me, the bookmaker will be on the same side I am 75% of the time.
You like the over in the Temple game, the over in Clemson, Georgia Southern. Was there anything else before we moved over to Triple G and Canelo?
I'm going to give you an under. I'm going to give you a Duke-Baylor game, 165-166. This way I can't just be 1-1. I want to have a decision. 165-166. And by the way, I hate giving out games. People judge you by one game. And, you know, I bet 30, 40 games in a week. I bet a lot of volume. I have a 3 to 5% edge. The more money I put through the counter times, that's the X factor, times the money I put through the counter times my edge, that equals a lot. If I make a $5,000 bet, honestly, the ticket's only worth $200 to me. So that doesn't even look like a $5,000 bet. It's 4%, just throwing out a number there. It's worth $200 in the end. I don't even know who I have, by the way, until the end of the night. I grade my tickets at the end of the night. I don't watch games. There's no emotion in what I do. Unless my buddy's coming to town, I don't even watch the games. I don't. I mean, we have a model that's a back-tested model against the inefficiencies in the sports betting market that we put in. It's computer-driven. I know I'm kind of animated too. But I'll tell you what, there's not a lot of guys like me that actually go on and talk about these things. There are many other groups. There's at least four that I know of that are very successful. But at least I tell you about the things. So let's go on to the Duke-Baylor 166. I bet the under there, and under 49 is still a good play. I think the Duke-Baylor game under. We can move on to boxing, sure. I've been around with my buddy Teddy Atlas all week, so sure, let's roll.
All right, so I was in Vegas for this fight last year. I was on the Triple G side. I still maintain on my radio program up here that Oscar De La Hoya owes me a refund for that wager because I was not happy with the result. Now, granted, if I felt like that was a draw, I'd be okay with it. But I'm still pissed off because I'm under the impression that De La Hoya had the judges he wanted in there to support his boy Canelo. Maybe I'm just a conspiracy theorist, but take me through this. What are you thinking about heading into this fight, and are there any concerns about a draw or any other shenanigans this time around?
Well, the draw is about 20-1. It's funny, I seen last night the draw was 20-1. I don't think there's going to be another draw here. The odds in Vegas, which opened up around 160-170, are down to around 150. I'm seeing 145 here in town, 150. I expect the Latino money to come in. I expect Canelo to be bet, and I expect the line to be lower in Vegas throughout the week as that Latino population comes in. However, something people don't realize, right before fight time, a lot of sharp guys will come in and scoop up the other side knowing there's some value on that, and I'm one of them. I actually like Triple G in the fight. But just to let you know, Joe, I will have 10 times more on a college game than I will a fight, and the reason is I just – like Teddy, I am very skeptical of the judging. There is three new judges here that are doing this fight, but I am skeptical. I have seen what I have seen. I love boxing. I'm a big boxing fan. I go to all the fights. And I just am too skeptical, too cynical to know that anything could happen. I'll have literally a dime or maybe two dimes the most, or I'll have 10 times more than that in a college football game. I do like Triple G. Teddy likes Canelo, just to let you know. And a lot of guys that I know like Canelo. So that's the way I'm breaking it down for the fight. I think that it's been a year now, so you have to remember it's been a year. These guys are both a year older. Triple G is 37, I believe. So he's 8 or 9 years older than Canelo. And that can affect a fighter. It's going to affect him at one point. They all fight past their prime. I'm not saying he's past his prime, but I probably think he's on his way down from his prime, absolutely. So we'll see what happens. You know, Canelo got some really good body shots in last fight, and that's a big concern from the Triple G camp. But the buzz is starting out here. It's funny. I went and picked up Teddy from the airport on Monday. I'm really close to Teddy Atlas. I picked him up. There was nobody at MGM at all. Now, yesterday I said, wow, Ted, you see this is getting bigger and bigger. And now today he did First Take this morning. I was doing VSiN over at the South Point. So I went over and seen him after, and he said, "Wow, I couldn't even walk through the lobby. It was unbelievable." And he's going to be doing the Sports Center. The Sports Center is live here. I don't know. They have Stephen A. doing it. I don't understand that, but anyway, Stephen A. is doing Sports Center at 3:15 local here in Vegas, and I'm taking Teddy over to the Beer Park to actually watch that be filmed. So, you know, Triple G. I mean, I'm sorry, Teddy and Stephen A. have had some animated things on ESPN the last three or four fights, so it should be funny. It really should be. But yeah, that's my take from Vegas. Again, I don't know about these judges, so I have to take it with a grain of salt. But I'll have Triple G, but more towards fight time, and I mean literally an hour before fight time, I'll be betting hour or two. I'll be betting Triple G.
Follow him on Twitter at Bill Crackman. He is a professional gambler. You can check him out on ESPN, VSiN. He's all over the place these days. Bill Krackenberger joining us here on the Sharp 600. Bill, I love the way your mind works, man. Mine's the same way, so it's refreshing to have that conversation. Thank you so much for your time today. Best of luck this weekend.
Hey, Joe, fantastic. Again, I have ADD. I don't take medicine for it. My brain has to go at work like it works. That's the way it is. I look forward to it. Anytime you need me on, I'm there for you, buddy.
Thanks so much, Bill. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk soon.
Have a great day. All right, bye.
No more. No, not tonight.
In addition to our upset alert, we've got three games in store for you this week. Give me some music. Game number one, Army hosting Hawaii, over-under of 62 total points, Saturday, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. So, by this point in the season, y'all know my affinity for this Hawaii squad, which is already 3-0 straight up, 2-1 against the spread, and 3-0 to the over. But this right here is the most brutal spot on the college football card this week, as the Warriors have to travel 5,000 miles across 6 time zones for a noon start. That's Eastern. It's pretty much a 6 a.m. start based on their Hawaiian body clocks. That is an absolutely brutal scenario when tasked with facing a triple option attack that just rolled up 449 yards on 74 carries last weekend against Liberty. I'm thinking lots of running mixed with some sloppy play equals a nice bet on the under of 62 total points. Game number two, Texas -3 hosting USC Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Admittedly, I liked this game a hell of a lot more before the season started when Texas hadn't already lost outright as 12.5-point favorites at Maryland or failed to cover the 22.5-point number in a 7-point win over Tulsa last weekend. Call me a glutton for punishment, or call me a guy who was at Stanford last weekend to witness this anemic Trojan offense firsthand. But as sloppy as this game might get, I'll be laying the 3 with the Longhorns. For starters, this is a big-time, under-the-lights revenge spot for Texas, who fell 27-24 in overtime at USC last season as 17-point dogs. And that was when the Trojans had first-round pick Sam Darnold to cover up their issues. Now, USC is riding with true freshman JT Daniels, who's battling a hand injury, to go with a relatively banged-up offensive line. The Trojans are 0-6 against the spread over their last 6 non-conference games, 0-5 against the spread over their last 5 September games, and 3-13-1 against the number over their last 17 games overall. Hold your nose and lay the 3. Texas is going to pay us back for that Week 1 disaster at Maryland. And finally, game number, I guess we would call this 4 when counting the upset alert. It's Auburn -9.5 over LSU Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, 12:30 p.m. Pacific, Jordan-Hare Stadium in Alabama. There's a lot to love about laying the number with Auburn on Saturday night. For starters, we've got ourselves another revenge spot here as Gus Malzahn's crew was 5-1 heading into the Snake Pit last October, only to find themselves on the wrong side of a 27-23 upset special despite closing as 6.5-point favorites. So don't think for one second that the Tigers of Auburn will get caught looking past the Tigers of LSU. Speaking of LSU, as usual, where's the offense? Ed Orgeron's squad notched just 31 points in last week's win over Southeastern Louisiana, despite all the talk that quarterback transfer Joe Burrow was taking over at signal caller for the Tigers. Additionally, it's gotten so shaky along the LSU offensive line that the Tigers are sending out just 2 receivers on some of their pass plays in an effort to max protect for Burrow. No nifty trends here, except for the fact that the home team has covered the number in each of the last four meetings between these two SEC West enemies, lay the 9.5 with Auburn. So to recap, upset special, Utah plus 7. Go under the total of 62, Hawaii and Army. Lay the 3 with Texas over USC. Lay the 9.5 with Auburn over LSU. And that is a wrap for us. Thank you for your time. Be well, everybody, and best of luck.